Well, hello and welcome to Watch What Crabbins. I'm Ronnie and that's Ben over there. Hello, my little Benuni Tunes.
Hi, Ronnie. How's it going?
Good. What's going on with you?
Not much. I'm just excited knowing that the Summer House reunion is taping as we speak. Like, can you even imagine what's happening right now? Wait, let me listen in. Manda, why would you do that, Manda? Oh my God. So nice to hear it's going well.
Just expected but today, investment.
Softer.
Could you say that softer?
Today is a show that's nothing like Summer House. It's the Valley, except that they all live in houses that are very hot at all times because they live in the Valley. It is the Valley recap, everybody. If you want this on video or you want bonus episodes, This Week of Survivor, or if you want our free newsletter or Discord community or ad-free listening, you get that all on Patreon. So thanks to everybody who's a member. Go be one, okay? This week, Amazon Live is different. It will be at 2 p.m. due to other scheduling things within Amazon. So that'll be 2 p.m. this Monday and that specific time. So join us for that. We're going to be talking about splurging on kitchen essentials. Okay.
Yeah.
Now let's get into The Valley, season 3, episode 4, Mariposa Mama.
Yeah. The sense that I'm getting from a lot of people all around the internet and just people I'm chatting with is that the Valley's not so good this season. People are like,
oh, was it me? Good. Was it me right not, before this, this episode?
It's you,
I said, this show sucks. And then I didn't want to say that on the air, but the show kind of sucks. Okay. But go ahead. But thank you not for just not you.
There have been a lot of people have been like, the Valley is so bad. And people were saying that on the second episode. I remember after the second episode aired, people were like, the Valley is so bad this season. And I was like, well, it's not as good as last season, but it's not. I don't think it's terrible. Here is my two-pronged opinion about it. As I'm watching The Valley, I'm like, this show is still perfectly fine. It doesn't have the urgency, perhaps, of having a terrible villain like Jax on it, but it's still perfectly fine. But the other prong of it is, that being said, we need to start cutting out the short scenes. This is not it. This is not the direction. Watching it's amazing how the show grinds to a halt the moment we have a Schwartz-centric scene and storyline. I mean, Lala, we can sort of get away with. You know, Lala, she's like a little bit of an agitator. She's trying. But the Schwartz shit is so bad. This was such a colossal fail to bring this man back onto the show as a full-fledged cast member. The fact that we had to stop and we have to watch stupid scenes of him at the Belmont, which, by the way, the Belmont's not even in the Valley. Hello, Hammer and Nails, not even in the Valley. So they're even sacrificing their own premise just to accommodate Schwartz. It is an abject failure. I don't think the show is bad right now. I think the show is perfectly fine. I do actually find the storylines of the various women going through, you know, postpartum to be actually pretty compelling and interesting. But this shit has got to end. No more Schwartz on our TV.
Well, my question is, why are you leaving Lala out of that? I mean, Lala's just as bad. She's just as bad. And this whole episode was Lala and Schwartz trying to make something happen when Schwartz has already been dating somebody else the whole time and they know this. So they're wasting our fucking time with their fake bullshit. And the postpartum stuff, I know that it happens in real life. And it's not that I have no feeling about it. You know, like, it sucks. And I'm definitely rooting for both of them against their stupid men. You know,
yeah,
they're sex pest men that they're with. But I don't necessarily want to watch TV to watch everybody being depressed. I have that. Okay. I have enough depression in my own life. That's why I come to Bravo. I don't watch it for this shit. So it's like everybody's depressed. Then they've got Lala and Schwartz on with this fake bullshit. You guys stop wasting my time. Make a show or don't. If you don't have enough to make a show, don't put a show on.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's not that I also don't want to see depressing stuff. However, at least what Kristen and Nia are going through, that's like real. That's real stuff they're grappling with. Yeah. Real issues with their partners. Their partners are being selfish, but it's fascinating to see it play out and how they're dealing with it. The Schwartz stuff is not real. This is not real, or is it interesting? And it's also arguably sadder than the postpartum. One of the few things that could be is watching Schwartz try to navigate the world. And like, I'm sorry, it's just not good. And the reason why I exempt Lala is because I do believe that, like, yeah, Lala, I think also doesn't have anything interesting going on, but you put her in a group scene, and if there's some sort of discussion, she is at least going to take a stand about something. She's going to push someone to take a stand. She's going to sort of do the reality star thing, but Schwartz isn't even going to do that. Schwartz will offer zero, and he seems like a nice enough guy, at least superficially, but it's just not compelling TV. And I just think it was laziness on behalf of the producers and Bravo to put him back on the show. I think they needed to cultivate new talent and bring new people into this group. And I know they were probably thinking, oh, but we want to be authentic and like bring someone in who's an actual friend to all these people. I'm like, yeah, but they have other friends than Schwartz. Bring someone else. Bring one of the other people who's wearing a fedora in the background. You know, bring them to the fore, but like not Schwartz.
Yeah, and part of raising kids and moving to a different place is that you meet new people anyway. Yeah. So new people naturally come into your life. Bring someone in from carpool lane, you know, or something right. like that. Yeah, I agree with you on all of that. I just, you know, the postpartum stuff, like, I'm not saying keep it off the show. I think it's just difficult with it being two of the cast members. It's like every storyline is depressing. Like, Bravo, there's always one thing. You know, there's always drama. We're watching things that are mixed with drama and fun. So it's just the mix is off, you know, where it's mm-hmm. all depressing shit. And
we also don't care.
I love this show. Like, I love The Valley, and that's why I care, because I feel like this is the same team who fucked up Vanderpump Rules. And, you know, Vanderpump Rules was fucked up with forcing Lala to go in there and try and like force a Tom redemption story and make Ariana film with Tom and then turn on Ariana at the end just to make good TV. Like, she's part of her and production are part of the reason that show sucked in the end and why it tanked. So for them to be like, oh, you know what's great? Let's bring back on Lala and Schwartz. We don't need that. Your show tanked. This is a new chance. You know, let these people have their chance. They had a good show before you guys started fucking with it.
This is one of the issues that happens in TV all the time. I mean, show after show after show, this happens on it, is that when a light, fluffy show, a campy, you know, I don't know, a show that's not taken seriously, whether it's this show, whether it's Gossip Girl, whether it's Revenge, whether it's the OC, if it gets like enough attention and enough clout where people say this is actually a really good show, and that like, yes, it is silly and pulpy, but it actually is a really good show too, then what happens is producers get in their head that like, oh, we've got something serious here. We've got to be about something deeper and more real. And then they come out with a season that is somber and is focused on quote unquote, like the real shit. And like, we're going to really connect with people, because the producers who work on these types of shows, who work on like things that would not be considered prestigious, but are getting prestige acclaim, want to be taken seriously. And so they follow up with very morose seasons. And I think we're sort of seeing that here. You know, we're seeing we're seeing like couples fighting, like, you don't understand me. And again, I actually think that's okay. But what we're not getting is the light, fun stuff. And we have Janet, who's on the sidelines. We haven't seen Janet in two episodes. And I know people are like, oh God, I fucking hate Janet. You cannot sideline your villains. And the reason why she's been on the sidelines is because the cast, like, a lot of them are mad at her. And the producers have to be like, guess what? She's on the show and you have to film with her. But instead, the producers are saying, that's okay, she's on the sidelines, because we're going to focus on what it's like for a new mom to be, you know, struggling with her husband. And I'm like, yeah, that's interesting, but that cannot be the A story here. I'm sorry, it can't. Because, like, what it has to be about this group of people and how they're all interacting. And there's just no villain, so it's sort of rudderless.
Well, I say just get rid of Janet, because I don't want to see Janet either. I mean, Janet and Jason have got themselves into this corner. They're refusing to back down. So in a natural friend group, they're not going to be hanging out with a friend group. So get rid of them and recast somebody else. There are plenty of assholes in the Valley. I live there. So trust me, there are plenty of assholes with babies that you guys could cast and it would be fine. And the original cast of Vanderpump Rules, you know, a lot of them met each other. Like, when they say how long they've known each other, it's always how long Vanderpump Rules was running. So they make it sound like, oh, these people knew each other for so long. They didn't really know each other that long. So eventually you bond by being on the show, just like a housewife show. So just bring somebody new, please. You're killing this show, you guys. Stop it. Stop killing this show. I love this show. Leave it alone.
Yeah. I think you have this. I think the feud at the center of this season is ruining the vibe of the show. Honestly, I think that's the issue. And the fact that they don't know, like the producers, this is the second time they've been stymied by something like this and they don't really know how to deal with it. And in fact, Bravo has to start figuring out a way to handle shows that encounter this, because it happens quite a bit where there's a bitter feud where it's just irreconcilable. And then what happens is the show gets mired in it, and it's not in a fun way. It's just like, just something that you're stuck with. And then the viewers have to sit through it. And so because the cast won't really do normal scenes, we get stuck with, you know, crap like Schwartz going to the Belmont to try to date, you know, a tiny version of Heather Gay.
Oh my God. Wow.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Okay, so let's get into it. Here we go. Season 3, episode 4. We open at Nia and Danny's house. They're trying to be wacky because Danny has looked like a jackass this entire season. So I guess they're trying to have like another fun Danny's just a fun dad scene. And he's singing, pump, pump, pump it up. That's your breakfast, lunch, and dinner snackies. You know, you can start selling that stuff, Nia. She's like, I feel like a human milk factory. I've been breastfeeding her pregnant for 5 years. Yeah, I just want to save people on this show. Just want to show up in my van, throw them in there, take them far away and say, we're going to start a GoFundMe for nannies and you just need a job. Get out of the house. This is terrible.
Save this poor lady in Santa Clarita. So Danny's like, well, speaking of babies, so I brought you something over. It's called Mr. Milker. It's the world's number one breastfeeding device. So it's this thing, you basically put this kind of bib over, like men put this bib over themselves, and then there's like holes where the nipples would be, and you stick the bottle through the hole, and then you stick a picture of the mom's face on your face. And you kind of like trick the baby into thinking that it's basically, you know, suckling on mama's teat. And it's so funny because you watch this and you watch Danny doing it and be like, oh my God, this fucking cheese ball, like, ugh. But what was so funny was that like 2 days prior, there was a video that went viral of a guy using this kit on an airplane. And the vibe was kind of like, this is a great dad. Look at this. Basically, it was like, mom's not there, so he's doing whatever it takes to feed this baby. And like everyone's like, oh, what a great dad. And then Danny does it. It's like, okay, sir, enough with your cheese ball antics.
Well, it's just problematic because, you know, he had this whole season of groping women. You know, that was his storyline. And now he wants to have a storyline entitled Mr. Milker. Like, this just wasn't very well thought through. That's all I'm saying. I looked up Mr. Milker on Amazon. It's actually not part of it that you make the face the mom. Just wear the vest and then the dad is milking it. Danny just made it where you put the face. It's like he doesn't want to take responsibility enough where the babies will get used to him doing the milking. He just wants to be like, look, it's milking. Your mom gets a 5 minute break and then she's back. Like, no, you have the baby look at your face and want to eat all the time. You know, don't try and pass it off to Nia.
Well, it's funny because the guy in the viral video also attached a picture to his face. Maybe the video is old and maybe Danny saw it. And maybe I'm the one who's late to the party. I don't know.
I'm sorry that we're not up to date on all of our Mr. Milker lore.
Our Mr. Milker content. We're just a little slow, guys. Sorry.
Yeah. So Danny's like, gosh, Nia obviously has so much going on because we got 4 under 4. She's wearing so many hats. Yeah, I'm just trying to get creative here. Just trying to get creative. Isn't that fun? How about you get creative and move her back to where she's not completely segmented away from all of her friends? How about that? Yeah.
How about you get creative with some snippers? And get that thing tied off, okay? Because she didn't even really want to have another baby, let's not forget. So it's not even about Santa Clarita. It was like, she was like, I'm done. I'm sick of doing this. He's like, guess what? Don't worry, because I'm going to get Mr. Milker and I'm going to help out for about 2 minutes per day. Okay, yeah. Santa Clarita. So,
Santa Clarita. So they make wacky jokes about this Mr. Milker, and Nia just tries to laugh. She's like, ha, 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 that is so fun, Danny. You're so fun. Just staring off into the camera like, help. She's blinking Morse code for help. And then he's like, hey, little baby, were you traumatized? Now you see that wasn't really mama? Were you traumatized?
Yeah, because one of the kids pulls the picture off of Danny's face and the baby sees it. The baby's like, That's like, you little brat, taking the picture off. So then Danny tells Nia, like, I talked to Luke and apparently he met up with Jason and Jason said there are some things that he wants to apologize to me about. And Nia's like, and they basically hand the children off to her mom. And Nia's like, Luke said that Jason maybe wants to apologize, or does he want to apologize? Well, he said he has some things he wants to apologize about, but no, they're getting together tonight at some cigar lounge and all the guys, and Jason just wants to have a talk with me there. I don't know if he could ever walk back being called the she word. I should say the CL word. CLOWN word. God, I can't believe I just spelled it out. How rude of me. Oh my God, if I ever get called that again, I swear I'm going to lose my cool. Gosh.
Have you ever been to a cigar lounge?
I don't know if I have.
Oh, you'd know. Ask? Just because it's the guys on this show to go to a cigar lounge. I mean, I've been with my dad because my dad goes to meet the guys at a cigar lounge. Let me tell you, walking into a cigar lounge, you look around at those people. Those are a bunch of people whose wives hate them. Hate them. They're like going to a cigar lounge, you know, to get their freedom from their women. They go smoke some cigars. And then guess what? You come home smelling like a cigar. Come home reeking, just reeking, you know. So anyway, she's like,
my dad loves cigars, by the way. My dad loves cigars. Mine too. I don't know if he really went to too many. I think he definitely went to lounges, but he would often like smoke them in a patio, like our patio. You know, actually love the smell of cigars. I think it's because I just have an association of childhood of smelling my dad's cigars. So when I smell someone smoking a cigar, I'm like, that's pleasant to me. Or pipe. You know what's the best is pipe. I love the smell of pipe. Do people still smoke pipes anymore?
Yeah, like steampunk guys or stoners.
Way to ruin it. Do people investigate mysteries anymore? Because those people definitely smoke pipes.
I mean, like Poirot or like Sherlock Holmes, they used to smoke pipes, but that was a long time ago. They're done. Pipes are done. They still sell them, though, in head shops. You can get a regular pipe the same place you can get like a weed pipe or a meth pipe. God. So Nia's like, well, is there a world where you guys can like coexist in the same space? And he's like, honestly, I just don't know. There's just so much damage been done by Jason. He's doubled down. He's defended his wife on everything. And then he called me the worst thing you could possibly call someone. I was like, a sexual assaulter, a clown, a douchebag. It's just toxic.
Can't believe you would call me a clown. Now, excuse me while I put on another picture of my wife and have a baby suck out of the hole in my shirt.
Now, excuse me while I trick our baby into breastfeeding out of my tit.
So now we go to Hammer and Nails, which, again, this is not the Valley. This is West Hollywood. And I also would like to lodge a formal complaint. Hammer Nails is like supposed to be, it's like a nail salon, but it's for men. So that we don't have any of that stupid women stuff going on there. So I tried to go to Hammer Nails once because I saw it on Shark Tank. They charge like $150 for a mani-pedi. I'm like, you know what? Go fuck yourselves. I'm done. And now you're going to host a short scene. I'm not having it today. I've whipped myself into a frenzy where everything's bothering me now. I'm like, and another thing. The way he parked in the parking spot, like, what, you're just going to leave yourself at a 1.2 degree angle? Get in there at 0% angle parallel to the curb.
I like how it's slowly taking you over. You start off by, you know, people are saying this show sucks now, but I'm telling you, really, it really doesn't at all. And by the second scene, you're like, fuck this show and fuck their location scout, too.
I just have like longstanding resentment towards Hammer and Nails because it looks really cool in there. And I really wanted to go, but I'm like, I just can't justify spending this much money and like for a mani-pedi. I'm sorry. It like really bothers me that Hammer and Nail charges that much. It's not right. It's not right. And if you're trying to be accessible, if you're trying to like tell men like, hey, you should get a mani-pedi because it's like, it's not just for women. Like everyone should be involved in self-care. Well, make yourself more accessible. Okay.
Yeah, seriously, Hammer Nails. So Jason and
this is my stump issue for 2026.
Down with Hammer Nails. So we go to Jason and Tom, and they're, you know, Tom's like, well, I feel great, but I'm going to the Belmont, and I was riffing with Michelle and Lala that like we were like we should have singles night, and oh hey lady who works here, it's like hi, he's like, you want to come with us to the Belmont? You ever been there? She's like, yeah, I've been there, of course I've been there. He's like, yeah, that's where I met my wife. Well, she's my ex-wife now, she really hates me now. Do you want to come? It's like, yeah.
And Jason's like, well, that's maybe where you're going to meet your next wife too, dude. It's like, it's the wife store, dude. That's like where you go. It's the wife store. It's funny.
That's so the Matthew McConaughey of bars. You get older, but everybody else stays the same.
Yeah. This is not being me being like ranty and silly, but I actually genuinely don't think that they should be going to the Belmont on the Valley. I actually think that they should leave the Belmont for Vanderpump Rules. I actually think that they need to literally not cross streams like that, right? Like the whole thing is that they've grown up and they moved out of these spaces. So the fact that we're going into a Vanderpump Rules space, I think is actually like legitimately wrong for the show.
Well, you know, I see what you're saying and I kind of agree with you, but now that you said it, I'm like, well, but part of the real, you know, if we're talking about it being real, I think if they're going to make Tom Schwartz work on this show, they really should hone in on the fact that he's like an aging guy. He refuses to age in LA and keeps dating 20-year-olds. And that is what the Belmont is. But just do it in a realistic way. Don't make it a date night with Michelle. No one's buying that. Watch Tom go in there and skeeve all over young women all night. That's what he's doing. So that would at least be a portrait of what happens to men, you know, pretty men when they stay in LA too long, like past their prime, and they just refuse to accept it and just, you know, creep out on younger women all the time. That's what I want to see. If you're going to show me that, show me the sad side of it.
This is what happens to pretty men. And then next up is the Sunset Strip.
Oh, he's already there. He's still on the strip.
Yeah,
Rainbow you know, room. He's still like, hey, you ever ridden a bull?
Wow. Then Jesse comes by and he's like, okay guys, let me tell you why I was late. I came from a doctor. I went to get tested for rabies, so if I start foaming and biting, I'm patient zero, by the way. I'm like, well, did you get cleared? Because if you're not cleared, leave this nail salon.
Why do you think you got rabies and then you're asking someone to like cut into you?
Maybe that's why he wants to get his nails cut, so that way he doesn't scratch anyone. But like, you are in quarantine until you get cleared from rabies, sir.
Yeah.
Do not meet me at Hammer and Nail. Okay.
It's a squirrel. Okay. Because the squirrels are living large with organic large almonds from Whole Foods, guys. Okay. And Tom's like, yeah, from Erewhon. And he's like, yeah, it's a bougie squirrel. But, you know, like I put almonds down and he came and like hugged my finger with his nails and then he scratched me and then he bit me. And so I'm like sitting here she's on the computer and she goes, so the CDC said that two animals that there's never been a case of rabies with are possums and squirrels. But, you know, like, I don't know. Then I Googled, can I get rabies from a squirrel? And it said, yeah, here's the symptoms of rabies, you know.
If a wild squirrel bites me, I am at the ER. I'm telling you that right now. Because squirrels, I've actually heard that squirrels are, like, pretty rare with rabies, but they have another disease. I don't know what it is, but they have another one.
Adorableness? I get bit by a squirrel. I'm just walking down the street, and then I just stop, and my butt shakes really fast. I twitch my head a little and keep walking. I mean, what could be so bad? Getting nuts uncracked real quick.
I have one too many friends who have been attacked by squirrels. I think squirrels are super cute, but I don't like getting near them because I've got one too many friends that said I was walking down the street and a squirrel freaked out and charged at me and ran up my leg. And I don't want that. Mr. Bean? I am friends with a giant Acorn. But
is your friend Jack Tripper? Like, who is your friend?
I am like, I just try not to get too close to the squirrels. I enjoy a squirrel. And yes, I understand they're just a rat with a cute tail. But you know what, though? A good haircut matters in this world. Okay? Because guess what?
God, you we say all the know. Same thing with babies.
Look, you put a nice wig on a baby, I'm going to change my tune.
We all know. I always know they say babies are just a rat with a... What'd you say? Rat with a sweater?
Rat with a cute tail.
A rat with a cute tail.
Listen, you see a lady walking to you in like the quote-unquote Karen haircut, you're going to brace yourself. Any other haircut, you'll be happy. Styling matters.
Styling matters, squirrels. Rats.
Squirrels understand this.
Yeah. So Jesse's like, yeah, so then my girlfriend looked it up, and then she's like, I can, you know, help find a doctor. She's really sweet. Yeah, she's also someone who doesn't want to live with a rabies-infested weirdo.
Yeah. That's a pretty basic instinct. Oh, you're bitten by something that may have rabies. I think I'll find you a doctor. God, she's so sweet.
He's like lost an arm. Like he's bleeding all over the... Maybe we should call a doctor. God, what a good girlfriend. So Tom tells him that he's going to singles night at the Belmont with your ex-wife and Lala. And he's like, oh, I thought you and Michelle were going to do it. And he's like, yeah, but I would never disrespect you like that unless it was true love. Like if I truly loved her, that would be different. You know, like I would never uplift the booty.
And Jesse's like, well, if anybody's going to do it, I'd be happy if it were you. And he's like, oh, man, that was sweet as hell. Are you serious? I know. Wait, is that the rabies talking? He's rabid. Okay. Jesse's version of rabies is that he actually becomes sweeter and lovelier.
A nice person. He's like a good husband. So he says, we're strictly Isabella now. And, you know, I don't know what Michelle's out there saying. Like, apparently she's telling Jasmine my friendship with Jasmine and Kristen and everything is a fake friendship. And I'm just a showman.
And God, these guys are really triggered with these circus terms. You called me a showman. Well, you called me a clown. Well, you called me a ringleader. You said I was a lion tamer. So Jason is like, well, I will acknowledge that in the beginning of first hearing about Lacey and then the whole situation where Janet asked me to block her. I mean, these are sort of small, like petty things, you know, and all that stuff. And Jesse tells us, I get along with Jason, but I'm still pissed at Janet the way she treated Lacey last year. Like, okay, look, Lacey said that, like, was like, don't talk about me. And I'm going to give you a cease and desist. I think. Everyone on the receiving end of those cease and desist have a right to be annoyed at Lacey. I'm sorry.
But they never got the cease and desist. She just said she would send a cease and desist. I don't know. I'm still team Lacey. I haven't seen Lacey do anything yet that has been bad. But here's what I've seen about Michelle. Michelle teams up with Janet. So,
but
who do I
pick? Ronnie, if Dom said to you, don't talk any shit about me, otherwise I'm sending a cease and desist, would you be like, oh, okay.
I would never talk about
you. I'll say what I want.
But I would never
talk about
Dom.
I'll say what I want.
No, I wouldn't. What? Because I would never talk shit about Dom because I have respect for you as my friend. And also I really like Dom. But I would never do that. That's the difference. Like, I don't think it's crazy for somebody like Lacey. I don't think it's crazy for Lacey. Jesse goes to Lacey and says, these ladies are calling you trash, saying you're a slut, whatever was being said. Of course she's going to be like, tell him to stop. I didn't sign up to be on this show. I'm not getting paid to be on this show. Tell him to shut the fuck up about me. I think that I would be more on that side, personally.
Well, I don't remember what they were originally saying. I don't remember what generated the cease and desist, but I still think that, like, if I were on the receiving end of someone who was, like, not on the show, who, like, actually actively started dating someone who was on the show and then got mad that, like, people on the show were talking about the relationship and it was like, I'm going to send you a cease and desist. I'd be like, fuck you. I'm doing my job here. I'm like weighing in with my opinion on this relationship. You know, I'd be like, so I totally think it's justified for people to have been annoyed at Lacey last year.
Yeah. I mean, annoyed. I was annoyed with Lacey last year, but then this year I was like, I'm not as annoyed with her. I don't know why. I mean, like the thing on Beverly Hills, you've got Rachel.
She tricked Jesse into wearing a hat to the restaurant.
You've got Rachel Zoe talking mad shit about the new girlfriend of her ex-husband. And she's saying, like, this girl's trash. She's a fake stylist, blah, blah, blah. Well, I can understand why Rachel would hate the new girlfriend of the ex. Like, I get that. So I don't care that she's really talking shit about her. But I also didn't care that the lady came out and was like, fuck you, Rachel Zoe. I'm not trashed and you don't have any right to say this. You want to say it to my face or whatever her social media was. And everyone's like, how dare that lady? No, I think that lady has the right to stand up for herself. Why not? I mean, it's not fair. You know, you're not, these people get paid little already, but like to not even be getting paid and to be getting called trash on national TV, I think you have the right to stick up for yourself.
Well,
God, am I going to regret this in the future? What if Lacey comes out to be a total terrorist? I'm like, Team Lacey.
Well, you never know. Listen, we're allowed to change our opinions. Nothing is locked in. It's okay. Jesse is like, well, I think there's some unresolved issues between Jenna and Lacey, and it's really on them to have a conversation to figure it out. So then Tom's like, hey, Jason, how are your feet? He's like, nice and soft. Oh, so it's like, okay, so what's singles night going to be like when you're going on a speed date, right? And Jesse asked that to Tom, and Tom's like, well, no, it's at the, you know, honestly, I really don't even care.
It's a dating night. It's not even a speed dating night. They're calling it that, but it's just the single women on the show taking Tom out, basically.
Yeah.
And so Jesse's like, well, if Schwartz and Michelle ended up dating, that would be so much fuel for me to use at all times to make them feel uncomfortable. Like, I'm pushing them into dating at this point. So they leave and they're talking to the girl at the desk again. And Jesse's like, you got a boyfriend? Because Schwartz here is looking for a lady. He's got a couple of dates tonight at the Belmont. She's like, oh. And they're like, you should go. She goes, well, I'm going to. Don't be surprised when I show up. Hammer and nails.
So guess what, now Michelle and Lala go to Kyle Chan's store. So we're just heading to some more Vanderpump Rules territory, and basically Michelle wants to change her wedding ring into like a necklace. So Lala is like, asking those questions because I have like the setting for mine, and like it's gonna be really good because I kind of feel like I want to drop Ocean's Birthstone in it. It's gonna be amazing. So they're just like asking him about the ring and everything, and he's looking at the ring and he's examining it and giving it options and everything, and goes on for a while of examining how to turn this ring.
We're literally watching them like, yeah, talk about jewelry. So Michelle's like, yes, I had not put it on, you know, but then I had a flashback of this day. Not that I wanted to get back with him, but it was like a beautiful dime in my life. The proposal was so amazing. He took me on my birthday trip to Paris, and he surprised me. And there was a photographer hiding in the bag, and he gave an amazing speech. And of course, I said yes. It was such a beautiful trip.
You know, I truly hated him last year, and I'm like barely recovering from all the trauma that he did to me, including pretending he was the sort of guy that would take me to Paris every year, not just once for show. But once my mom passed, I just kind of let it go, and he was mad, and that's why he did all that stuff to me. But we did have like a really beautiful time for a long time.
Yeah, but they are still not divorced. Yikes. So it's been 2 years. She's like, I just want to be divorced by this year. This is my goal. So then we go to Jasmine, Brittany, and Kristen, and they're going out to dinner. And it's girls' night, girls' night, girls', girls' night, girls' night.
Girls' night.
Girls' night, girls' night. Because Kristen's really depressed. And so they're
going, oh, isn't this fun? Kristen, what can I do to cheer you up?
Would it help if I did this lot? Isn't that fun?
Isn't it contagious? Isn't it contagious?
Kristen is feeling sad. She's unhappy about how she looks, and she's really taking it hard. And they're trying to really boost her up and everything. And she's like, hey, you know, you're only 3 months out. You know, it's all 3 months. And they're like, yeah, come on, Kristen. She's like, it doesn't change how I feel. And so she's really sad. So she goes to the bathroom and she says, you know, she just feels like, I just feel like I'm this weird new Kristen in someone else's body now. So she comes back, and they're just trying to boost her. And Jasmine's like, Do you think that hanging out with the girls makes you feel a little bit more comfortable being out in public?
She's like, no. I mean, I literally texted Luke when I got here and I said, I'm never leaving the house ever again.
So they're like, okay. Brittany, do you got something?
Anybody able to be helpful here? And Jasmine's like, okay, you know, I just want you to know that we're, you know, here for you. And like, if you need stuff like girls' night or dinner or something like that, you know, we're here.
Yeah, we're always here.
It's like, oh God, I don't know if you know this, Brittany, but like, about law. So like, do you know this, Brittany? And she's like, oh my God, I do know, because Brandon is the one who told her. I mean, I can't believe Brandon got so messy. I was like, Brandon, it shouldn't have been you with the gossiper. And he was like apologizing to me like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. I feel like I started drama. He also lied, you know, which is kind of the issue. Like if he had started the drama and then actually stuck to his guns, but then to start the drama to be like, I never said that. What are you talking about? I didn't say that she said you were fake. I said that it's not like she said that you were fake. I mean, come on.
So Jasmine's like, do you think Brandon is like a messy person? Is he trying to be messy?
No, he's not. He asked me to be his girlfriend, though. Isn't that right?
Kristen's like, what? You didn't tell me.
Oh my God. Well, you know, he did that dinner the night before me, his party. It was just like so much. And then they brought a baked potato to the table. And I was like, oh my God, there's a baked potato.
I lived with two boyfriends that night.
You're a cool potato.
So Jasmine's like, this guy is messy as hell. He lives for 5 hours away. He's got two or three baby mamas. I mean, it's just too much. And I think Brittany is not seeing it that way. Pop the puss, but let's not pop labels.
Okay. So Brittany's like, y'all just be happy for me. Just be happy for me. Brittany, they're watching you crash into a wall again. Okay. It's not everybody's job to constantly be happy for you when you're making stupid ass decisions.
Yeah.
So then we go to the guys, Luke, Jesse, Tom, and Jason. They're at La Casa for cigar night.
Yeah. So Jesse is like, so you a cigar smoker? And Jason's like, I'm like a reverse Bill Clinton. Like I have trouble not inhaling. Like, reverse Bill Clinton? He's like, wait, no. I mean like, oh God, that could be multiple things. Oh my God. And so Luke goes, so yeah, did you bring your knee pads? Haha, you just admitted that you like giving blowjobs.
So Danny's not there yet, and they're not sure if he's coming, but he's coming and he's squirting milk at them out of his boobs. It's like, hey guys, 4 under 4, am I right? All right, let's see what Janet has to say Jason. Sorry, my bad.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So, they're whiskey. Jesse arrives and he brings like a bottle of whiskey, and Tom is like, oh wow, this is like the adult version of Oreos and milk. And Jesse is like, it's like, yeah, Danny, are you partaking in a little whiskey? And he's like, no, I'll just have the Pellegrino. You just can call me Danny Pellegrino, and I'd have some scotch, but I don't want to be labeled by anybody around the table here, God forbid.
God, like last week when he was taking shots and then saying, I'm just going to have a mocktail, Danny. So sad. Jeez. So Jason's like, well, you know, I'm coming here with flowers tonight. Like, essentially, there are things that I'd like to apologize for. You know, I have a lot of regrets about how I handled myself emotionally. You know, like I got for, oh God, lack of a better word, triggered. We're still using that one, right? That's still a get out of jail free card, right? Triggered. Yeah, I'm triggered. You know, I'm very protective over my wife, you know, but there was zero organized systematic takedown. Okay. That never happened. Oh God. All right. So we're just here to bullshit. What's the point? You know, I mean, did La Casa just need the publicity?
Yes, probably. So Danny goes, well, listen, I'm not here to be friends with you, to be honest. Okay. One thing that we clowns do is we don't let people in easily. So don't get excited to get into my little car because you're not invited.
He's like, well, I'm in the same boat as you. I'm not here to be friends with you either. Great. Especially hearing this perspective now. How you could treat me this way right after I was triggered. Right after. And Luke's like, what's happening here? This night is supposed to be about us coming together, accepting my mullet, and never telling me to change it. But not only are people not apologizing, you know, like, hey, listen, the big apology, guys, is that hasn't happened is for the terminology used on that boat in Maui. Like, that is something that not only not been apologized for, it's been backed up.
Yeah. And so then we see
if you're going to date people and then force them to be on reality TV, don't let it be Luke. Like, we need to start making people on this show before you get impregnated. We need your sperm donor to go through auditions because this guy's terrible.
I just keep on having flashbacks to last week when he like wore his shirt open at that Frontier party and no one else did. So Jason is like, well, okay, I will talk about that right now. So as you said afterwards, like I did tell Janet, I'm like, Janet, I really wish you didn't use that kind of word. And she feels the same way about that, just so you know. It's like, yeah, but the damage was so major. Do you know how many zombie voiceover roles I lost? It's terrible. He's like, well, Jesse's like, it's inexcusable. Yeah, and it's inexcusable and so major. And these bridges are burned and he's rolling his eyes. And Jason's like, I'm rolling my eyes a little bit at the excusability. Oh, yeah. Okay, I did nothing to them. They took somebody else's situation, weaponized it that they had nothing to do with and just bulldozed it over and over again. Listen, if I wanted to rub the inside of Janet's eye and said, get a drink for daddy, I would have done it, but I did to someone else. So therefore, I'm off the hook.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Like, if you get drunk and you do something fucking weird and terrible, like, it's not just affecting the person you did it to. Like, it's going to make other women in the group feel weird, dude. So yeah, my wife felt weird around you. And he says, what'd I do to your wife? And he's like, well, what'd you do to my, you made her feel weird in the pantry, first of all. Oh, God, we're going back to the pantry. Just get out. Like, Janet and Jason need to stop this. Like, they're going to up it this year. You watch. I can't wait to see what their new thing is. Like, why this really triggered Janet. It's going to be some vile thing. He went to take a shot in the pantry, so he closed the door. He wasn't coming onto Janet in that pantry. Stop.
So Danny is like, oh, my gosh. And guess what? I apologize for that. He's like, and Luke is like, I fucking love you, Danny. And I think we have all a great time together, but we can have a great time together. And if a couple of people are very much at odds, like, you know what? Can we tolerate each other? Yeah, well, we'll get there. I'll have to speak to my other insane clown posse friends. Danny's like, or I guess Jesse says that. Danny's like, I'll take some time.
Yeah, he's time like, listen, I'm sick. I don't like being called all sorts of names. All right. And I'm just sick of it. And I don't want to have that anymore, but I can try. Could you please stop rubbing your own breast? God, these just feel so good, don't they? Anybody want to try them? Daddy's here. Come to daddy. Come to daddy.
Does anyone know why Jesse is foaming into a cigar? Guys, just a allergic reaction, I'm sure. Nothing too serious.
So now we see Zach and Benji shopping around at a sex store. That's all we get.
Naturally.
People are like, why isn't there more Zach in this season? And they're like, okay, Zach, you have a chance for a scene. He's like, oh my God, let's go look at Deltos.
And then Lala's getting glam for no apparent reason. And then Kristen and Luke, they're at Kristen Luke's house and Danny comes over. And Luke is like, hey, so you like how my garage looks, looking a little bit better? He's like, yeah, it looks a little bit better. Hold on, let me see. Do I want to touch the inside of this garage's thigh? I think I do. You did it. You made this garage look real good.
You know what this show really needs more of? Luke. So Luke's like, well, the garage is coming along and Kristen just thought she should hide everything. So she brought curtains to like hide everything. Danny's like, sounds about right. Sounds like Kristen. Strong curtains over stuff. Sounds like her to me. Yeah. And like, okay, so cigar night. I mean, I was more moderator than being on your side. I won't do that. I have loyalty to you. I'm sorry. He's like, well, you know what? I was a second away from not coming. And when I get hurt, I get really hurt. But then I thought, you know, I've got an hour and a half to drive and think it over. So I did that. And the ship sailed. And I don't need it in my life. Anyway, let's not talk about that anymore. Let's talk about real fun stuff. How's Kristen?
Well, Saturday, Jeff and I went to Taco Bell. Who's Jeff? I don't know. I just met a guy named Jeff. I said, do you want to go to Taco Bell? I'm starved for social activity. And Kristen said, hey, stay out as late as you want. I just want you to come to bed and be able to help me in the morning. And I fucked up, and then I ended up falling asleep on the couch. By the way, what we find out is the story is that he went out and got drunk. It's not that he went to Taco Bell. Like, at this point in the story, you're like, of the show, you're like, okay, so he went to Taco Bell and he came home and he fell asleep on the sofa. Okay, fine. But no, he actually went and got shit-faced. And it wasn't just Taco Bell with Jeff.
Yeah, and he's like, I feel isolated. I don't really go, I don't get to go fish anymore. And then the couple of times I did fish, I get made to feel guilty, like I'm a bad father, or I'm not there for her because I took time for myself. Like, it makes me feel worse than if I just hadn't fished in the first place.
I think you're fishing right now for sympathy, and you're not catching anything on your line.
Who is so procreating with this person on purpose? What is happening here?
He is going to equate, like, his lack of fishing with what Kristen has to go through. No, sir. So Daniel's like, well, I can tell you this. You're not the only one going through it. Nia knows that I need to get up and get a workout in just to get in that right headspace for doing the nothing I do all day. Because if, God, by the way, do you know what it's like to do zombie voices if you're not in the right headspace? There's a big difference between going and going, right? You can hear. That's the difference between getting a job and not getting a job. I need to get my workout in.
Yeah. And he goes, well, you all need to go to therapy, you know, because we'll have therapy every once in a while. And he's like, yeah, we do. Kristen doesn't appreciate the sacrifices I made to change my entire life to be out here with her and start a family. Oh, shut up. Stop acting like you get an award for having a baby with somebody. That's fucking crazy. Like, she had your child. I think that wins.
It's also not a sacrifice if you're going to hold it over her head. When you made the agreement to move to LA and to be on the show and do this, you made that agreement. And then don't, like, throw that in her face. You can still go fishing, okay? And the difference is that, like, you can go fishing and you can come back from it and then you can move on with your life. And whereas Kristen is dealing with really, like, her thing is much more significant, I'm sorry, than you not being able to go fishing. It really is.
Yeah, and you had no problem moving here because of this television show that you're currently on, going shirtless as much as possible, thinking you're all cool. So let's not pretend like, oh, you just moved to the Valley is this huge favor to Kristen, okay? You're kind of a user. So I don't want to, like, hear you complaining because you don't get to go fish enough, especially when right. You're going out and getting so shit-faced you can't take care of the baby and then fall asleep on the couch. Like,
yeah. How about the sacrifices that Kristen's had to make? No. How about the sacrifice she has to make of you coming back home smelling like bass? Trout. Guppy.
Oh, gross. So now Michelle, Tom, and Lala are going out for singles night. And they're joined by Michelle's friend, Natalie. Natalie is one of my best friends. We met years ago when the kids were due. We loved our husbands around the same time, so, you know, I wanted to hook up with Dom.
Natalie really does look like Heather Gay. I was, like, astounded. I was like, she was, like, the spitting image of Heather Gay. She's, like, a younger, shorter
Heather Gay. She looked like the other Heather. Heather from New York. Heather
Thompson?
Yes, I thought she looked like Heather... the one who works for Puff Daddy. He's like, yeah, I worked for Puff Daddy Mamas.
Holla. Well, either way, she's got big Heather energy, but her name is Natalie. It's so confusing.
But so, she talks like this kind of, she's like, she talks like a lady from a smoking commercial. She's like, yeah, tell me about all your problems, Tom. You want to go outside to the smoking section?
So this is a singles night where all the single people get to meet people. Or at least that's what it's supposed to be. But then it just turns into Lala and Michelle trying to hook up Tom with Natalie. And so Lala's like, okay, guys, we got four single people here. And the three of us are going to tag team you. Okay, doesn't that sound fun? Are you ready, Tom? He's like, oh, I worked out this morning. Oh, by working out, I mean I lifted a pillow. It was scary. I had to put it down again. Wait, Michelle, do you have a dating app? She's like, oh, I had Bumble in 2015 and I had just moved to LA. And apparently right before I met Jesse, I had swiped left and turns out that he had swiped right on me.
Wait, how did you meet Jesse? She's like, at the office, but, like, most of these pictures I see of him is like, you're a douche. Absolutely not. He was one of the douches. I should have known.
Natalie's like, wait, so have you been on a dating app before? And Lala's like, no, because I'm really fond of sliding in a DM. So Lala says that her signature thing is, well, she says, I am not Sheena Shea. I'm not going to give you a laundry list of men who I'm like, who I fucking slid into your DMs. It's not happening. But what I do is I DM them and I give like chef's kiss. I do that emoji and like it works every time.
Yeah. So now Tom's like, wow, do you know what I'm talking about? I like a you. Do you like a Mia? Get it? It's like a chef. And now he's like, that is so funny, Tom. Are you okay? Yeah. I like your voice, by the way. You sound like one of those ladies in one of those anti-smoking commercials. Stop it.
Oh, my God. Am I flirting? You should do voice work. Oh, my God. Help me with my game. I don't know how to flirt. I don't know how to flirt. And this is not like Bailey on Summer House. He does know how to flirt. And he's doing his I'm a sweet little innocent boy thing because he's like touching her arms. He's being coy. He's like, oh, my God. I'm out of the game. I don't know what I'm doing. I get so shy. I mean, who am I? I'm just a male model who's been on television for 10 years with a certain degree of fame. I'm shy. Oh, my God. I don't know. Like, you know, Tom Schwartz goes out every night and gets a whole bunch of posse, and he's acting like he doesn't know how to do it. And that, so watching this is just so.
But this is how he does it. This is his flirt. Yeah. He's like, oh, I'm just a little boy. He's really upset about his wife leaving him. Oh, Katie. It's all I think about is Katie. Oh, okay. He's still trying that whole, like, I'm so sad about my ex-wife. Do you want to comfort me?
It's so affected, and they keep on saying how innocent he is. Do you guys not watch Vanderpump Rules? He is not innocent, okay? Not in the least.
So yeah, he's flirting with this girl. Lala's like, oh my God, he's so cute. They went out to smoke. It's like this, like, Michelle and Schwartzy. They would, like, be so good. She's like, no, I see him as a child. Like, I love Dom's energy, but he is the opposite of what I'm looking for. I want somebody older, more mature, who does more cocaine, who tells me to work out more. You know, somebody more well-rounded in general. And Tom, so we go to Tom and Natalie outside smoking. Okay.
By the way, Schwartz is old. And the fact that, like, that he's not reading as old is hilarious to me. Because when she's like, I want someone that's older, what she's basically saying is, I want someone in their 50s or 60s. Because Tom is in his 40s. It's not like he is a 25-year-old, but he is just, he just reads as so immature that she automatically she means is like, I need someone older.
Yeah, she means mentally, for sure. So we go to Tom and Natalie outside smoking, and he's like, wow, you sound like an oracle. Like, it sounds like you a pickup line, but it's not. She's like, it is a pickup line, but it's a sweet one.
There's no world in which you're outside of a bar and you tell a girl you sound like an oracle and it's not a pickup line. Yeah, that doesn't even make
sense. I'm looking into my crystal ball. I see you're surrounded by cats. Lots of cats have passed in your life.
And then Tom's like, yesterday's history. Tomorrow's a mystery. Today is a present. That's why they call it a gift. Wait, how do you say it? And she's like, I think you have ADHD. I don't. I undiagnosed, you think? She's like, yeah, undiagnosed for sure. You're funny. Oh, God.
No, seriously. I think you have ADHD. Really? Yeah.
So now they get some suckers and they go back inside. And guess who else is there? The receptionist from Nail and Hammer. She actually showed up.
She showed up and she's like, oh my God, hi, where'd you get that lollipop? Can I get one? She's like, oh, I think I've got one more. And Lala's like, who is this girl? You're fucking up the vibes. Where'd she even come from? It's like she was dropped into the bar. I'm like, she was by a producer. Do you not know how this works?
By someone who sees that the show is going down and actually wanted to bring someone with some personality into this scene. Sorry, Lala. So Summer's like, will you put it into my mouth? I have my hands full. I can't get the lollipop in there. It's so hard getting lollipops in my mouth.
Michelle and Lolly are just like giving the nastiest look to this girl. Which is funny. I mean, this girl is completely thirsty. There's no hiding that. A completely thirsty person who just wants to be on this show. But at the same time, if Lala is supposedly all about, like, I'm a girl's girl, I'm all about my girls, like, why are you being catty in this moment? Like, this is supposed to be a singles night for the women to find people. And, like, literally, it's two singles.
Lala's never been a girl's girl.
I know.
Lala's never been a girl's girl.
As evidenced by this moment right now. I mean, I get it. This girl is thirsty. But also, like, if you're going to pretend to be about something, be about it.
Yeah, but how is she any thirstier than Natalie? I mean, Natalie's also on the show to pretend to date Tom to be on TV. And this girl was invited by Tom. So, you know, Natalie was invited. She was invited.
Yeah, exactly. So Michelle's like, don't kill the vibe, girlfriend. Keep walking. And Lala's like, yeah, take your half ponies and skedaddle. Like, immediately.
But, like, what vibe is even happening here? Because you guys don't, you're saying this is singles night to flirt with Tom, but neither of you even want Tom. And you just said so. So bring him on. You're the ones who wanted the date night. Date night.
Yeah, it's date night. Date night. So then Lala's like, what a cock block this girl is. Like, she's like, and she has shih tzu hair. And I know about shih tzu hair because I've been there. We see flashback of when she did have the same haircut. So Tom's like, guys, look, this is Summer. She works at Hammer and Nails. And she's like, oh, yeah, okay. So how do you guys know each other? I don't really even care, but just tell me. Oh, well, so I was with your ex-husband, Michelle, and we got a mani-pedi together. It cost a lot of money because it was at Hammer and Nails. And they really should lower their prices. That way people could go to it more easily.
You got a mani and Betty with Jezzy.
Mally's like, I love a man who gets a mani and a mani Betty. Not gonna lie, right?
Truly. Like, well, I thought I was doing okay with Natalie, but now that Summer's here, I don't have the skill set to navigate this. I know I've been slutty in the past, but I don't really have a lot of game. You know, when you're a male model and you've been famous, you don't really know how to hit on women, you know? It's hard.
So the girls are telling Natalie, oh my God, we totally found a match. We're going to hook you up, girl. So Natalie and Michelle go to the bar and Natalie's like, oh my God, he's the dog. You guys are flirting. You guys are like flirting though. Really? We're flirting? Yes. Do you not feel the vibe? I don't know. Like, maybe you could giz him. She's like, what? Kiss him? Yeah, maybe you could giz him and then tell me what it is like. Okay. I mean, just because I would not date Dom does not mean that I wouldn't giz him. I mean, look at him. He is adorable. He is like a cute little bubby.
A cute puppy that I would like to kiss. Have you ever kissed a dog before? Like, really kissed? Get right up in there. What am I even saying? Anywho, my girlfriend doesn't kiss anybody, by the way, Tom. And she's like, I am so down if he does it. So because she said something like you were laughing out loud, you made a movie reference, said something about Oracle, that you should kiss her tonight and I will kiss someone else another night. I swear to God, it's like a really sad rom-com.
I can't do it. I'm just such a pussy. I just can't. He's like, you can do it, Dom. You are lame. Come on. He's like, no, I'm not lame. Like, hey, Natalie, you want to have a cigarette? I'll come out and have another cigarette with you. Come on.
So they go out to have another cigarette. That way Tom can now kiss Natalie, leaving Summer to sit with Lala and Michelle. And it's so funny because Lala and Michelle are just completely ignoring this girl. And Summer's just sitting there like, oh my God, I guess I'm a cast member now. It's all working out.
So Lala's like, someone better get laid in this group tonight. And Summer's like, hell yes, girlfriend. Well, I don't think it's going to be me because, like, I just don't know that I would, like, try to get a man. And Michelle's like, do giz. Lala's like, yeah, you know, she's a full 10. Like, the ass makes her a 12. Go enjoy her. Natalie, I mean, not you, Summer. Summer's like, oh my God, thanks, I'm a 10.
And Michelle's like, yeah, I mean, Schwartz, because they're talking about Schwartz. Like, I mean, why is he being so slow? Like, she's right in front of you. She's like down. Like, and Lala goes, kiss the girl. Summer goes, oh my gosh, Little Mermaid, right?
They just look at her like trash. But of course they both got it because they're moms, you know, but they're like, and Lala's like, yo, this girl from the nail salon is still here. Like, she and her hair are here to stay and she's ignoring all the signs. Please get the fuck out of here.
It's a singles night, but we're not supposed to have any singles here. Okay. We're trying to meet singles, But when we meet singles, they're not supposed to sit and actually talk with us. So now Tom is outside and he's like, oh God, Howard Lee, and vocally to my friends, I'm like, I want a date, like hook me up. But like quietly inside, there's like a girl that I've been like crushing on. And I'm like starting to get warm, fuzzy feelings again. But like, I don't know if I can say that out loud because I don't want to jinx it. Like, you know what? Don't say it out loud because honestly, no one cares. So just keep it on the inside.
Yeah. So is he telling us that he's been dating somebody? Is he like, I am, like, I'm being secret, you know, I'm not saying anything to my friends, but I actually do already like somebody. That's what he's saying, right?
I think that's what he's saying. I think he probably just has, like, post-traumatic Katie syndrome, and he is, like, last time I sort of liked Joe, and Katie destroyed me and destroyed Joe over it, so I'm just not going to say it this time around.
Oh, so now we go to Luke and Kristen's. They're putting Kaya down, and Brittany comes over, and she's like, yo, ready for your date night. So Brittany is going to babysit the kid while they go to date night. And she's going to have the help of Zach and Tom. Wacky guys trying to babysit what?
It's going to be crazy. Yeah, because they had basically said, like, we will gift you one night of free babysitting. So she's like, yeah, well, Brittany is really going to be the one to actually babysit Kaya. And then Tom and Zach are just going to, like, fake babysit the baby. Oh, caca. So,
you know how to clean a vagina and a butthole? You better practice cleaning a vagina and a butthole, Zach. I'm not kidding.
Like, oh, geez. So she says that motherhood is ups and downs. She has good days and bad days, but she wants to be
Mariposa. Caca.
Caca. And Kristen's like, and we see, by the way, for those who also wonder why we always call her Mariposa, it's because of this clip that they showed, which is that she was in Mexico, or I think she was in Mexico, but she like looks up, she's like, I just want to be a butterfly. How do you say that in Spanish? Mariposa, caca, caca. And the caca is also from Mexico, where she went on to a balcony and spread her arms and went, caca, caca.
They're showing a lot of Kristen classic clips, and I don't think it's serving her well in this episode. Like, just let her be depressed. Like, don't remind her of, like, look, here's fun. Here's when you love Kristen.
She's got shih tzu hair.
You know, just let the woman have a year. Give her a break, I say.
So that now they're babysitting a little bit, and Tom's holding Kaya, and Zach, she is like just so good and so cute. Like, if I could choose like a well-behaved child, that like would make it so much easier. He's like, oh, were you a well-behaved child? Oh no, I was feral. I had colic for like 5 months, and my mom was like, we almost threw you away. Oh my God, maybe that's what's happening with Jesse. He's really gone crazy lately ever since that squirrel.
I think the baby wants some milk now. Give her some milk. Hurry up. Give her some milk.
Okay, let me tell you. Give me the baby.
Abort. Abort. It's too late for that. Just give me the baby.
Zach's like, yeah, I don't think you should say that word around a baby.
So now Kristen and Luke are, they're on their date. And they're getting like, he's like, pizza and darts. Is this your dream? He's like, better than like a fancy dinner. Like, I don't want to get dressed up. I don't want to get dressed at all. It's like, yeah, well, you want enough clothes on to keep me from jumping on you, apparently. No, I want enough clothes to like not feel fat. And I don't want to put on an outfit. Okay, I just want to be comfortable. Luke, I want to have fun with you. I'm just like, ugh, I'm fucking mad at you.
You're mad at me a lot.
Well, I get frustrated because you make promises and it always like revolves around going out or like coming home late.
So she tells us Luke went out Saturday. This is the other side of the story. Luke went out Saturday night with the guys and she told him, you know what? Tonight the baby's sleeping. Stay out as late as you want. It's very simple. Don't sleep on the couch and please help me with the baby in the morning. That's all I asked. But then he came home. He slept on the couch. He was drunk and did not help me with the baby in the morning. And she didn't bring it up till now because she doesn't want to fight in front of the baby. And so she's like, so, you know, it's like you don't feel how I respect. And he's like, well, you don't care how I feel or respect me. And he says, well, I feel the same way. Like, you don't respect me. Like, last time I asked you to show me empathy, you said, oh, your life is so hard, Luke. And then you went super hard on me. Like, I didn't even get to fish.
Luke, don't do the, but what about me? To the mother of your child who is like given up everything to do this, you know, like she is going through it. And your big thing is that you want to go fishing. Like, no, it just doesn't work that way. Here's the
thing. I think that when you're in a couple, and especially when you're having, you are allowed to have these conversations. Like, listen, I think you're being really disrespectful to me, and it's hard for me to, like, constantly be on your side. I'm doing a lot for you, and you're, you know, you treat me like shit, or you're constantly yelling at me. Like, how do we get around that? The thing I have with Luke is that all of his arguments are like, yeah, but you won't let me go out and get drunk. You won't let me go out and get fish. You won't let me fuck you. Those are, it's all selfish shit that's coming out of him. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's not like, hey, you're, you know, maybe we need to learn a different way to talk to each other, or, you know, you're hurting my feelings or something. It's all like, why don't I get to do what I want to do while she's sitting there with a baby stuck to her, you know?
But I also hate the fact that, like, she's saying to him, like, I felt so disrespected, you know, like, it makes her feel like she's alone on this journey. You know, he's sleeping on the sofa, literally not in bed with her. She's taking care of the baby on her own. She's sleeping in the bed alone. She's doing all this alone, and he gets to go out and have fun, and she wants him to have fun. But, like, also, like, she wants to feel like she's not alone in this, probably. And then when she brings that up, instead of him saying, like, my bad, I fucked up, and he knows he fucked up, his response is, but what about me? And it's like, yes, yeah, exactly. You are allowed to have fun, and you are allowed to say, look, I'm going through some shit too, and I feel bad bringing it up because I know you're going through a lot of really, like, big stuff, but I'm going through some stuff, and I also need, like, my partner in this moment. But right now, this is her complaint to lodge, you know? And, like, imagine you, like, you put like, something in the suggestion box, and the suggestion box spits one back. It's like, well, and here's one for you. It's like, I am putting my suggestion in, and you are supposed to receive it right now. And we will talk about your thing in a future conversation, or we'll move to that. But let's address my thing first. And that's, I think, just, I cannot stand when people do that.
Yeah. And so Luke's like, yeah, but I tried to talk to you, and you either shut it down or say, I can't talk about this, I'm tired, I'm going to bed. And she goes, well, because I don't fuck you. And he's like, no, like, why are you even bringing that up?
Because you talk about it constantly.
And he's like, so I went out one night, and I wasn't super capable in the morning. She goes, oh, okay, one night, okay. And he's like, yeah, but, like, I'm having trouble being a first time dad too. Like, you're a first time mom, you should understand. And, like, you know, I've tried to talk to you, and, like, I'm not allowed to have a hard time. It's not allowed for it to be me and both of us. It's only allowed to be hard for you. Oh my God, you fucking wuss, grow up. Yes, it is harder for her. Like, she's going through all the physical things. She's got all the hormonal things. She's got all the hard part. The easy part is your part, sir. Like, yes,
yeah.
It is your job to shut the fuck up and just support her with whatever she's going through. It's not about you and your widow feelings. He's fucking men child. Get rid of him.
Did you not get to go out and get drunk with your friends the other night? Did you not get to go out and go to a cigar bar with your friends the other night? Did you not get to do all the things that you're just complaining about? Did you not, by the way, get to go fishing? Because, by the way, you did get to go fishing, and you told us, well, I mean, I did get to go fishing, but then I felt bad about it. You're getting to do all the things. You're getting to do all the things that you're complaining about. And, by the way, you were talking about having sex because you were the one who just said, yeah, you're wearing so much clothes to stop me from having sex with you. You literally just brought that up.
Yeah. Oh, he's so annoying. He's so annoying.
Let's go back to the Tom Short scene. I'm mad.
Oh, so she's like, well, you know, everything that was confident and safe about how I could feel is now out the window. And it's like, he has to trump me. Like, I don't know what it's like being a first time dad. Give me a break. And she's like, don't try and one up me. And he says, well, you have empathy for everybody except me. And it's like, every time I misstep, I have to walk on eggshells. Then stop misstepping.
Yeah.
Walk dumbass properly. He's like, I can't even make mistakes anymore without you calling them out. You're a dad now. And so he's like, I'm 2,000 miles and 3 time zones away from my family. I've never felt more isolated than when she was pregnant in LA, and I know she loves me, but, you know, it doesn't feel that way. It's been pretty difficult, but it's not allowed to be difficult for me. You're a wuss. You're a fucking
have
wuss.
Your mom fly go out back again. Yeah, if you're missing your parents, your family, have them fly out to you. You're the one who has a new baby. Like they should come to you. Stop complaining. So Kristen's like, well, you complained about my pregnancy the whole entire time. He's like, I complained the whole entire time. Yeah, Luke, I thought you were leaving me. Why are you coming for me? Like, you really thought I was going to leave you? She's like, yeah, during the first trimester. Yes, I did. So then, and then he goes, but we both agreed that was not the real you. So apparently they had this big fight, and in the first trimester, she had all these meltdowns. And there was one day where it was like a lot. So he said, like, I can't do this anymore. And he probably meant like, okay, this is crazy. I need to step away from, like, I need a break from your mood swings. But she took it as, I need a break from you. I can't be in this relationship anymore. And she apparently, like, really freaked out about it.
Yeah. And the second, then I started spiraling. I was like, oh my God, he means he can't do this with me. He can't do this life with me. He can't have this baby with me. He doesn't want to be a dad. You don't want to be my fiance. Where am I going to get pancakes? Where am I going to get pancakes like that? Holy shit, my world is falling apart.
And he's like, you even said you're so grateful I stuck with it. God, this guy. Why does no man on this show know the right thing to say? Like,
yeah.
They say always the opposite fucking thing. And she's like, listen, it's a pregnancy, then it's postpartum, and then it's LA. Like, I'm doing the best I fucking can over here. And he's like, well, I'm not leaving you. I would never leave you, Kristen. I mean, there are cameras here, okay? I'm not leaving them. Or you guys. Not leaving you guys, okay, Kristen? But, you know, we need counseling. And she's like, I agree. And so that's, he's like, that's that. You. Yeah, and then you. She and walks then, like, out of the bar.
And then he, like, looks over at the TV. He's like, oh, well, I guess the game is over. Fine. And then he leaves. Yes. So, yeah. Another real sunny episode of The Valley.
Jeez and crackers. All right. Well, that's that.
I actually thought that scene was fascinating. You know, I do think it's fascinating seeing what these couples have to go through in the wake of a baby. But, yeah, the Schwartz stuff has got to go. Too much. Not interesting enough. Take notes, yeah. Producers.
So. All right. Well, everybody, thanks so much for being here. We will talk to you a little later today with some Southern Hospital.
Bye. Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
Whip up a meringue. It's Amanda E. Lemon.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with Dylan Clark.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no less namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's not a McBee, she's a McBride. Jess McBride.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Kay Sarah Sarah, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Aren't you glad it's Marianne Arns?
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is sweet. Well, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna. It's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Can I have a Kavanaugh? It's Anna Kavanaugh.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher.
Hogle your horses, it's Christine Hogle.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
She's the lady of the house, it's Rachel Sharouse.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's our princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
Maximum love for Sandy Maximoska.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Telefson.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.